The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
October 6th, 2024. Wow. Well, we're going to be at Christmas pretty soon. They're already putting the Christmas stuff out at Costco.
Yeah, they've been putting
that
it out.
That was a month ago.
Oh, wait. I don't go there that often.
Congratulations. We're about to be assailed by pumpkin spice as well.
Pumpkin spice is on
Eggnog. Ooh, favorite time of year.
Okay, eggnog, I'll be with you on that.
Thanks. Yeah, eggnog, good.
You're listening to Sovereign Minds. Good morning. My name is Mark Ken. I'm your host, and we want to thank you for listening in. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister, Linda, who does all the heavy lifting of all of Venus energy, an immovable object, an unstoppable force of nature, slayer of snowflakes. She has learned more BS at a BS meeting than a BOS meeting.
Good morning, everybody.
Greetings.
Yes, and it just keeps going.
And the kid that rocks around the clock faster than a speeding internet connection, more powerful than high-speed download, 10th degree black belt ram, Cyber Dave Johnson.
Greetings.
Wow, he must not have had too many drinks over there
I'm
yet
still
this
about
morning.
To crack open my first one here.
Yeah, I thought so.
Right, okay.
Is that alcohol-free?
Unfortunately.
It is, but it's probably got, like, you know, 240 milligrams of caffeine or something in it.
To be fair, this one only has 200, thank
you. Oh.
Only.
Sorry, misspoke.
All right, and we have, settle down, guys. We have a special guest in the studio with us. Richard Gallardo is here today, and we will be having Dolores Lucero in the second hour. So this is should be a pretty interesting
action-packed
day.
Action-packed today, folks.
Action-packed. There you go. Just like it's like a trailer for a new movie, you know.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, the ugly, but I'm not sure how that would be spread around. Anyway, here we go.
I could say something, but I won't.
Yeah.
Seems like you have.
I'll take the ugly. There you go. All right. So here we are, and you are now running for the Shasta County SCOE Office of Education District.
It's Area 2, but area two. I'm not going to talk about that at all today. No. I'm actually would like to talk about the voting cycle that is going to be beginning this week. I want to talk about some new voting laws, which are absolutely horrible. I want to talk about observer rights.
Okay.
This is going to be so nothing about my candidacy at all today.
Okay, so we kind of talked about it before. Do we want to get out information, take callers at the end, or take callers throughout the program?
I would like maybe the last 15 minutes take some calls.
So. Just so people, I just want to warn the people. So if they're calling in and we don't pick up, that's kind of why. Is there's a lot of information that we're trying to get out, so we want to just push it out as fast as we can because we're limited on time.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Every election cycle is different, unfortunately, because this law, the state passes laws faster, you know, than you can make, you know, deviled eggs. I mean, it's just crazy.
Well, that's the definition of tyranny, is arbitrary abuse of power. In other words, if I can change that's kind of the cycle that we've been going through for quite a while. They just keep changing the laws on us, so after a while, nobody knows what the laws are, and you can be charged just about with anything, no matter what.
Yeah. And so it's no different in the elections voting arena. So many laws bills get introduced every year, and a great portion of them, the majority of them, pass with no problems. And the state passes them as urgency statutes so that the day they're signed by the governor, they're in effect.
Well, he just passed the law saying no voter ID is necessary.
Yep.
And Elon Musk countered that with anybody who doesn't want ID is promoting fraud,
well,
basically.
Yeah, and, you know, and I think most people listening know my background, but I've been studying election, state election law since the Mulder recall. You know, I trained the people on how to do the petition gathering, et cetera, et cetera. And so, I have pretty intimate knowledge on the elections laws in the state. And the key here is, things have changed again for the worse. The state continues to tighten their grip around our liberty and our freedoms, and even our freedom of speech, even our freedom of assembly when it comes to voting and observing. The state is continuing to be ever so tyrannical. You know, and we can say tyranny every day to the point where everybody becomes numb to that word, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting more serious. It is getting really, really bad.
Well, and I don't think people realize all the laws they're passing and how quickly that they are.
Yeah.
And with this.
Yeah, so let me say first, here's my recommendation on how to vote. And I'm going to modify what I said recently. So what I said recently is vote on election day at mm-hmm. your precinct in person without an envelope, meaning that would either be take your ballot out of your mailed envelope you receive or get a precinct ballot at the precinct. Okay.
Yeah, but isn't that going to be a provisional?
No, absolutely not. So what I said before was to keep your mailed ballot sealed in the envelope. Mm-hmm. I'm going to modify that just slightly. I'm going to modify that, and the reason is, so if you want to take that ballot out of that sealed envelope and fill it out, and you can go to the precincts now and turn in that very ballot without the envelope. A recent law passed, it was either this year or last year, says that you can now vote without an envelope. You can bring it in, and this last election cycle, they were taking ballots without envelopes, so it's already been happening. Here's the key. Retain that envelope. Keep it, because that's got postmarks on it and this and that, right? In fact, when you get your mailed ballot in the mail, I suggest you take a picture of both sides of it before you open it. And or make an actual copy of it.
I would even take pictures of the ballot itself in light of the new information that we had on a couple of things as far as switching the names around.
Yep. And I was just going to go there. Thank you. You headed me off at the pass. So once you take a picture of the sealed envelope, both sides, or make a copy of it, you absolutely may legally make a copy or take a picture of your own ballot envelope. Same thing. Take the ballot out if you wish. Take a picture of it before or after you fill it out. Doesn't matter. But
I was going to say, maybe after you fill it out.
Well, it's a secret ballot, right? So once it's turned in, nobody knows.
Now, you mentioned last week that to ask them if you had voted yet before you opened the envelope.
Yeah, about the voter challenge. Well, we can cover that now if you wish.
Whatever. I mean, I'm not trying to jump around.
No, that's okay. No, this is kind of election day stuff. So, yeah, if you show up and they said you've already voted, again, you're going to have your mailed ballot and or envelope with you. You will have them with you on your person when you go to the precinct. And if they say, sorry, you've already voted, and you say, no, I haven't. I want a challenge. I want to issue a written challenge. Now, they're going to give you a provisional at that point. They cannot deny you voting when you show up to the polls.
They will give you. Suck,
well, I know, but if you don't fill out a provisional and you lose your challenge, now you have not voted at all.
Right.
See, so you have to, you need to submit a provisional. And again, you'll need, they're likely going to tell you, go to the elections office to complete your voter challenge. They're not trained and equipped at the precinct level to do this. And I've talked to former poll workers, and they said, yeah, we don't get training on challenging. We have no clue what that is.
So I have a question. So I go in, and I say, they say, you already voted. I said, no, I didn't. I challenge it. I do the provisional. What happens to the vote that was supposedly me?
So, unfortunately, I didn't bring that with me today. I wasn't prepared to delve real deep into the challenge with the laws in front of me. But, unfortunately, the law actually favors that original vote. It's really bad. I mean, that's how bad our election system is.
All right, that kind of answers the question.
It actually presumes that the original vote was the original valid vote. Now, you can still challenge it, But again, that's where I say you go to the elections office with your envelope, right? To say, you know, and your ID, and you forcibly say, I'm showing you my ID, and you put it in writing that you showed him your ID. You have to raise your hand and swear, and that you attest and swear that you did not cast that first vote. It was not you, and make sure all this is in writing.
Okay.
And then eventually, I don't know how long it will take, depending on how many challenges they get, but eventually they'll have to investigate the challenge, and then the law's kind of silent on the matter of who gets to decide which vote's good. So my guess is it's the registrar of voters is going to make that ultimate determination as if they accept the original vote that you challenged, or are they going to take your provisional?
It would be pretty much a no-brainer. How did you vote? I voted this way.
Right. Right. Well, again, that's where the original ballot and the original envelope come into play. So if you keep the original envelope in the original ballot and you vote a precinct ballot, but again, if it's a challenge because you've already voted, they're going to give you a provisional, not a precinct. Well, precinct ballot is different than a provisional ballot.
If you had a bunch of people doing that, then that would show that there was fraud.
Well, we have to. So
interesting. Okay.
So a lot of things going on this year with this new, with some of these new election laws. I'm going to save the big one for last because, so there are certain things that, you know, we're allowed to do at, on election day. And, there are laws in place that read, you absolutely may have your cell phone or electronic device on your person at a polling place, voting center location, doesn't call it what you will. So, the law reads you may have that and use it on election day because prior elections here in Shasta County, if you read the voter guides and stuff prior, and this was under Kathy Allen, there's nothing darling about her. It used to read, yep, the cell phone's prohibited, right? You can't do this. You can't take pictures. You can't take videos. See, that was all false, by the way. A big surprise. Kathy Allen, had, you know, misinformation and disinformation to use their terminology, in the voter guide.
I call it something
Since, once I confronted that office with these laws, I said, no, election code 18541. And there's other ones that say, no, you absolutely may have your cell phone on your person and you may do other things. And, let's cover it while I'm talking about it. Election code 18541. So there's electioneering. And I'll tell you what electioneering is illegal regardless on election day within 100 feet of a polling place or a polling location. And electioneering is you're displaying candidates' names, logos, vote yes or no on measures, et cetera, et cetera.
Standing out in front with nightsticks and black clothes.
That depends on.
So that's within 100 feet. If you're over 100 feet away from where somebody could cast a vote, then you're okay to do all those things. So in general, electioneering is within 100 feet of a voting location or where they drop off their ballot. So. And of course, I disagree with that. I think that's a freedom of assembly and a freedom of speech issue. But unfortunately, it's the law. So electioneering, getting to election code 18541, intimidation of voters. Okay, here's the key: first paragraph, first sentence, a person shall not, comma, with the intent of dissuading another person from voting, comma, within 100 feet. Of a specified location, that would be the ballot drop off voting location. So this is under intimidation of voters. Notice the verbiage in that very first sentence, with the intent of dissuading another from voting. So the intent is in the mind, not of the voter who thinks they're being intimidated. It's in the mind of the person doing the activity, right?
State of mind.
It's a state of mind, not of the recipient of the action, but the person performing the action. So this is what is key here. And I suggest every observer print this election code 18541. Print this, have it with you on election day when you're doing your observing. And when somebody says, hey, you can't do this and you can't do that, show them this law. And you say, I, as the observer, have no intent of dissuading another person from voting. So this law does not apply. You see how easy I just made that? I just did it. It's done. And they're going, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. Oh, it says right here, you cannot photograph, video record, or otherwise record a voter entering or exiting a polling place. But that's only if you have the intent to dissuade them from voting.
Yeah, but
remember, it's right here at the top. If you don't have the intent to dissuade voting, the rest of this stuff is a green light.
Yeah, but then you could say I don't have any intent while you're doing it. You know, I mean, that's the problem.
But the key is with the law is when somebody's alleging you're violating a law, you usually have to have a specific intent or a general intent to violate a law. That's how.
Well, sure, intent. I always run talk about the examples of intent being, let's say that you get in your car and you're backing out of your driveway and you don't see little Johnny next door and you run over him. That's different than you get in your car, you look back, you see Johnny, and you go, yeah. I hate that kid, and you back over.
So the example I like to use is driving under the influence. So if you get in your car, you're impaired, drugs, alcohol,
because
doesn't matter.
Because it's the same act, you know.
Let me finish the example. So whether it doesn't matter what it is. If you're impaired, if you've ingested or done something where you're impaired and you get in and you get pulled over and the test shows you're impaired through drugs, alcohol, whatever, that's specific intent because, you know, you can't say, well, I was too drunk to know I was impaired. Well, right. that's not a defense.
Right.
But if you go out and DUI and you hurt or kill somebody else, you never intended to go out and hurt or kill somebody else, but that
is malfeasance.
But that's no. We're talking about specific intent and general intent.
Well, I'm saying malfeasance.
This is in the law.
If they're in the law, if there's a series of events that shows that there's malfeasance, that does create intent.
So the DUI person that went out and drove DUI, it's easy to prove they specifically intended to drive impaired. But you're not going to be able to prove that they specifically intended to hurt or kill anybody.
Right.
So they get convicted under general intent.
Right.
Okay. So right. Just remember. And so those are the two kinds of intents. And so my point is print this law, every observer, and have it with you. Because I've shown this to Joanna a couple of cycles ago when I went in to do some observing and the lady checked me in. I got my little observer sticker. And the employee says, oh, and by the way, you're not allowed to take photos or videos. And I said, sorry, that is wrong. I need to speak to either Joanna or Kathy Allen. There's nothing darling about her right now. This is way above her pay grade. I said, I want Joanna or Kathy here now. And Joanna came out. I said, Joanna, your people are misquoting. They're telling me I can't do things, which I absolutely explicitly can. And Joanna's like, well, I said, there's a law, Joanna. There's a law that says if I don't have the intent to dissuade voting, I absolutely may take photos and videos. Absolutely I can. And Joanna says, well, you know, there's just so many laws and I don't have the time at the moment. You know, I'm like, oh, here you go. Here you go, Joanna. And I handed it right to her.
That's your job, Joanna.
But here's my point. That's why you print this. And I handed it right to her. I says, here you go. Here's some reading material for you, Joanna. I'm going to go upstairs and do my observing in a very peaceful manner, and I shall be taking photos and videos, and none of you can stop me. And I went upstairs, and I did it.
What's the saying? Ignorance of the law is no excuse?
Yeah. So this is going to be a very important one for people to print and have with them when they're observing on Election Day.
And what's the number again?
Before, or during, or after Election
Day. That's California
Election
law.
Code 18541.
Okay.
Before, or during, or after Election Day, right? Because we have a 2-month election window, right? So have this with you. This is extremely important because this gives you your rights to do these certain things as long as you don't have the intent to dissuade voting, and that is in the mind of you, the person doing the observing. This is so easy, it's not even funny.
Okay.
Very important to have this.
Next.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, there's just so much, and I'll save the doozy for last. And then here it is here, just real quick, Election Code 2302. This is the one that says you shall not be prohibited from using electronic devices, including smartphones, at a polling place. And then there's exceptions. There's always exceptions to laws, right? There's always gray areas, loopholes, and exceptions to laws. But in general, all the codes cited in this one that says you shall not be prohibited, meaning you may use your electronic devices, okay? And just so you know, there's like 7 codes that are listed as the exceptions, but it's basically the electioneering, intimidating, harassing election workers, stuff like that, which a good lawful moral observer is not going to do any of those things anyways. So
you're just standing there observing, that's all you're doing.
You can be in there taking pictures, you can take photos, you can text, right? Because texting is quiet, right? You have mm-hmm. to be, you got to be quiet and not disrupt as an observer. So, right? Sending and receive texts and all that. So, Election Code 2302 covers that. And you know what? Maybe even have that one printed and have it with you because there's new elections employees in that office this year. And if they're going to give you, when you check in, sorry, you can't have your cell phones. No, sorry, here it is, 2302. I absolutely can.
Well, and then the other problem run into is a meaningful observation, you know, because from the past, what they've done is they put you in a place where you can't even observe what's going on, whether they're counting the votes or watching the count, the votes be processed.
And that is continuing. So they've been doing what is called pre-VLAT testing, I believe. So they've been doing some test runs of ballots in the last week or so with observers present because they're required to have to allow observers. And it's happening this cycle under, unfortunately, Thomas Toller. That's another conversation, unfortunately. But right now I don't see any meaningful changes. So this pre-lat, they're running ballots. They have people, you know, actually and physically counting ballots and putting them into boxes. And I talked to one of our supervisors just this week. He also went in to do observing, and he said, it's still the same. The observers cannot see the ballots. They cannot see the marks on the ballot, which means the voter's intent. And you know, these election employees are sitting there just calling off, you know, a mark on a ballot and then throwing it into a box. The observers cannot see anything on the ballot.
So is there laws or
changed
guidelines about the distance that it has to be?
Has to be.
It's very vague.
Well,
unfortunately,
it has to be meaningful, I think, is the term.
Yeah, but again, that's vague.
Well, I know it's vague, but what I'm saying is that if you're 100 yards away, that's not meaningful. And meaningful would have to be where you could actually observe what is happening.
You have to be able to see.
Right.
Well, and I'll tell you right now that, you know, Mr. Toller, after he got in office, he had some meetings with some of our local citizen election integrity groups, because I was in those meetings. And he promised us increased transparency and to do better this and better that. And it's very unfortunate. I don't see any of that put in place. None of it. None of it. And that's extremely upsetting to those of us that have done years of election code research. We've done the research to show where the fraud is ingrained in 98% of the system. And we've shown Mr. Toller, look, here's where you can, you know, let's fix this, let's tweak that, let's minimize the fraud here and there, and let's, you know, additional checks and balances. And well, it's very unfortunate he doesn't seem to be putting any of that in place, and I'm really upset about
it. With this new information about this, the order of the people that you're voting for, the candidates, in light of the fact that, you know, we broke this story last week, or we, I don't know if we broke it, but somebody broke it, and he was on our show last week, Patrick Jones, and on our podcast, talking about changing the order of the candidates, you know, and the ones that we're referencing was Eric Jensen and Bridget, so that they would change the order of one being on top or the other in the order, and how that it would vote if Eric Jensen was above Bridget, he would get a yes vote. If he was down below, he'd get a no vote.
Right.
And so, what have you got any information on anything being pursued on that?
Well, yes, there's things being pursued on that, and so Kathy Allen, her answer to that was, well, the barcode. Remember, some of the ballots had this 360-degree
right.
barcode.
Uh-huh.
Well, Kathy Allen's answer was, well, the barcode can tell which name's on top.
Well,
the barcode is not the target area when the ballots are being, when they're doing this pre-VLAT testing to make sure that the machines are reading target areas.
Right.
Nowhere ever. It's not even in the code. It's not
in
the code.
It's an election violation.
It is.
Just having changing the order.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely is. It's a violation.
Well, and she admitted to stopping and having certain ballots printed a certain way.
Right.
And so
again, that's where photocopying or taking pictures of your ballots and envelopes this year is very, and retaining that's very important, because if we get to civil or criminal litigation, we need that. It's called evidence.
Well, I'm
that's called
they're
evidence.
Scrambling down there a little bit, because I think maybe there's some issues and problems at the DA's office. I hear that the public defenders are quitting right and left. They've had enough. I'm also hearing they're having to hire other attorneys. So I don't know. I mean, where does it go in the end of the day?
I want to go back to observing little bit before we go on.
Yeah, no, I'd rather.
I'm trying to understand, where does it say what distance I have to be from you counting the ballots? Or does it?
And I don't have that code in front of me. You know me. I like to
right,
have
yeah,
the
but
code, but it's again, it's very generic. It's
it's, you know, close enough to observe. I mean, the verbiage is almost like close enough to observe. What does that even mean?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Why right? can't they just film the ballots? All of the ballots.
Well,
on
that's another
film.
Thing that we asked Mr. Toller during these weekend meetings is, hey, time to put cameras up. We need cameras
right.
above the tables, shining down on the tables. And they need to be recorded and archived and live in the elections mm-hmm. office, right?
Well, they got caught in Georgia with a lot of that hanky-panky, and yeah. So I can understand the resistance, and nothing became of that because the judge wouldn't hear because of standing, which is a canard that, you know, the left has been espousing. Oh, it was thrown out of court like 50 times. No, actually, they never examined any of the evidence. They threw it out on technicality, so they didn't have to hear the evidence. So they don't know if there was any crime committed or not.
But why wouldn't you want to do something like that if you're wanting more transparency and help the citizens out of the community and everything and be aware of what's actually happening in the office.
So right now, because the elections window opens this week, I don't know if the cameras have been put in place. I don't know that yet because we haven't started. So maybe we will see cameras above the tables. I don't know.
Voting, you can start voting Monday,
the
I think.
You get your ballot. Yeah. You can early vote.
No.
I haven't got my ballot yet, but I've got the voter information pamphlet yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I heard Kevin Cryer this morning on the radio said he got his stuff yesterday.
Oh, really? Yeah, I haven't got the ballot. I got the
voter
booklet.
Information guide.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's what he said he's received. No, we're any day now the ballots are going to be hitting. So, and then here's another law that a bill that just passed. Let's see. If it was urgency, I'm sure it was, because that's what they do. So Assembly or Senate Bill 485. Yeah, I don't see that it's urgency. Well, anyways, let's talk about it. So elections workers protections. So it basically says, you know, people cannot harass, intimidate, threaten election workers, and that's okay. Well, obviously,
right? We're not there to do that.
Yeah, but. The processes that this code protects is was the canvassing, the semi-official canvassing, the official canvassing, election day. This is the one where it's a felony. This is the law where it's a felony to intimidate, harass election workers. Okay, fine. But you know what they added this year? They added the election observation process into this felony criminal code. So they want the observers now subject. And this is not necessarily a bad thing, but the thing is, this was a loophole gray area that the state now has filled in. So now any election observer process is now subject to this felony criminal code.
Wow.
And this ties in with other stuff.
Yeah. And with that, I think we'll stop right there, and we'll pick it up on the other side because we do need to take a break. And we will pick it up on the other side. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Gran Habanos Corojo No. 5 with the unusual Shaggy Foot. Offering two distinct experiences, Corojo No. 5 comes from Honduras with Nicaraguan, Mexican, and Costa Rican tobaccos. Finished off with a spicy Nicaraguan Corojo wrapper leaf for a heavy and rich smoke. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com.
It's time again for the Majestic Stillwater Powwow, October 4th through 6th, at the Reading Rodeo Grounds with free admission for all ages. See the return of the beautiful dancers, the feel of the powerful drummers. Learn and experience firsthand the culture of the Native American people. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow, October 4th through 6th, at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. For information, call 530-225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potter family, this station, and other proud sponsors.
We got counterfeit boys dating counterfeit girls, making counterfeit love in a counterfeit world. Counterfeit news for the actual fools who believe and obey all the counterfeit rules. Who's got the power? Who's got control? Who's talking? Who's in the shadows? Who cuts the deals? Who writes the script? Did any of it feel in this counterfeit world? It's a counterfeit world. Counterfeit thieves growing counterfeit food. Counterfeit meat tasting counterfeit good. Counterfeit drugs in our actual blood. We don't know what it means. What it does. Who's got the power? Who's got control? Who's talking truth? Does anybody know? Who's in the shadows? Who cuts the deals? Who writes the script? Is any of it real in the counterfeit world? It's the counterfeit
world. It's new Five Times August stuff. Pretty good. Right. I kind of like that guy. He definitely, through his music, tells a lot of truth. Crazy stuff out there. I mean, we're living in a freaking crazy world.
It's happening a lot with the music industry, whether it's rap or whatever. And I'm not a rap person, but right. a lot of good messages are coming out of the music
world.
We got
a couple more of those coming up here. There's the next. We didn't get the first one. We needed to play it longer, but that's all right. I'll save it for next week and put it out a little farther. And then we got the next song on the next break is Woke No More.
Okay,
that's
so
a rap song.
I guess we have graduated to the big announcement or the big doozy. Wanted to get out.
So the doozy assembly bill, Assembly Bill 2642. Oh, here we go. Did I say they were continuing the chokehold around observers' rights? Did I say that earlier? I think
not
I
not in those words, but yeah.
2642, you say?
2642. This is a doozy. Oh, I'm telling you, this is a.
Is this the one that Newsom
just
signed
into law? Sounds like Dr. Pepper or something.
Yep. This is an urgency statute. Was chaptered. I think a week and a half ago.
What does chaptered mean?
Chaptered means it's in the books. That means they printed it and it's on file.
Gotcha.
So approved by the governor September 24. And the Secretary of State, September 24. So it's chaptered, meaning it's in the books.
So you can just about count on that it's to keep the fraud going.
Well, this actually has more to do with keeping observers' rights limited and further limiting observer rights.
Well, same thing. It's just a different way to keep the fraud going.
Yeah. Well, the system's 99% fraudulent, and that 1% I leave up to God, and maybe he'll step in this time. And so, yeah, the fraud's everywhere. So the problem with it, this one's called Elections Intimidation.
Okay.
Intimidate.
Who's
the intimidator and who's the intimidator?
Linda had a good question on the break. So what happens when the elections officials are actually intimidating the observers?
Yeah.
Nothing. This is a one-way street. Mm-hmm. The government officials, whatever the heck they want to us, with little to no recourse, short of, you know, the U.S. codes for violating civil rights under color law.
Well, I think
so they can intimidate me, and I'm not supposed to have a video going to show that they're intimidating me because I have no rights. Because
well, I think
that's
have
why
to,
they don't want you taking photos.
You'd have to go to a Civil Rights Act and file a lawsuit against them.
Correct. 42 U.S. Code 1983 is the civil side of it. 18 U.S. Code 241, 242 is the criminal
right.
side.
Right, and go after for violating my
civil rights under color of law, meaning. Meaning a government official is using their official authority in their official capacity to violate your civil rights. Absolutely.
Well, we could go after
wow.
a few of people like that if we could get some things changed around.
Okay, so
wow,
what does this do?
In so many ways. So let's go to the first part here. So the bill, they have to justify the bill, and it's usually several paragraphs of allegations or what they call data and facts. And the state of California, they're criminals and they just lie. So here's one of the justifications. In recent years, there's been an increase in the number of people carrying firearms in public, a development that has coincided with the deregulation of gun laws. Guns have been used where people are voting and tabulating ballots to intimidate
what
and harass.
What planet do
wow,
they live on?
Wow.
This is California? They've loosened up the gun laws in California.
They're talking about in general in the nation. But if you think people have been using guns to intimidate voters, don't you think that would have been all over mainstream media? I have heard zero stories.
The only time that kind of happened was... back in the day?
15, 20 years ago, there was the
Black Panther
on the East Coast. They had nightsticks and guns. Absolutely. Different state, right?
Excuse me.
It was Pennsylvania.
Yeah, different state. But anyways, they're stating this as fact, and it's never happened. It would have been all over mainstream media, and it wasn't. I've never seen any story of somebody using a gun to intimidate a voter. I just haven't. So blatant lie, right? Lie. And then they say, the fraudulent claims have served to radicalize an increasing number of individuals who use the election denial movement. I've never denied.
Which would that be, Hillary?
In 2016, the Democrats were the election deniers, right? In 2020, it was the Republicans that were election. So it just depends on which way the flag's blowing that day, right? What's an election denier?
That's why I said read that again. Really? Yeah. Okay.
They're a bunch of morons. All right, so.
Well, once again, it just gets back to the crux of the problem. So last election season, we ended up seeing that by executive order, they made it to where you can't hand count, which is the way it's always been done. And
174 years, we could hand count, and all of a sudden, we can't hand count.
That's because this
we
is
don't know
for
how
your
to
own good.
We don't have two hands
and
no more.
Governor Newsom knows so much more than we do.
Yeah, so here's some more of their justification for this new bill. These activists, that would be us, the election integrity folks, those are the activists, have physically crowded election workers performing their official duties, inundated elections offices with public records requests. You're welcome, Kathy. and even visited voters' homes while claiming to be part of an election task force. Okay, so in Shasta County, and even in here, they mentioned Nevada County, there were citizens trying to perform election integrity duties, allowed by law, by the way. And so, but they're saying in here that, like, oh, we're bad. These people are bad. So
well, I watched a video yesterday about a guy who went on to register to vote. And it's so easy that you can register to vote in 5 minutes. You don't have to give them your address. You don't have to give them your social security number. You give them your name. You don't have to give them nothing. And he was registered in like 5 minutes. And I guess that's okay to have a bunch of illegal aliens come over and vote as long as they vote Democrat. Then that's a fair election because, we don't want to have any checks and balances to make sure that.
Yeah, it's okay. They're not citizens.
And then we got the guy signing into law that you don't need an ID to vote in the state of California because that would be, that would be bad for people of color and race and orientation. That would be disenfranchising them because, quite frankly, they're just too dumb to get ID. Getting ID to drive a car, or get on a plane, or go get your welfare.
Well, that means you have to show that you're a citizen, and you're supposed to be a citizen.
But we can't have that here because we would be disenfranchising illegal aliens.
I know.
The 650,000 illegals, the criminal ones.
so
what could go wrong?
So now we're going to get into some of the meat and potatoes of this new bill, which is now in effect. And this is basically a bill that allows a civil suit. This is not a criminal code and a criminal statute. This is a civil code, a civil statute, meaning for any violations, you can wind up in civil court. Okay, so this is important. This is extremely important to say that this is civil. And the reason is these election workers this cycle are likely going to invoke this law and say, you're intimidating and harassing me, and you're not allowed to do that per AB. Sorry, I put the page away. the AB number I gave you, 2642, I believe.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, yeah, you're not allowed to do this per the new law. And our answer, here's our answer. And they may say, the election workers may say, if you continue to act, I will have law enforcement remove you. So now they cannot do that under this. This is a civil code, not a criminal code. Every time a law enforcement officer shows up to a call, let's say a domestic dispute, a child custody dispute, doesn't matter. If the allegations are civil in nature, and it's typically child custody, it's civil in nature, here's what the law enforcement officer will tell the calling party, you know, the suspects and everybody involved. They will say, this is a civil matter. I can do nothing about it. You must pursue this civilly. This is the key here. So when the elections workers this cycle say, you're violating this bill by, I feel threatened and intimidated and harassed, and we're going to get into the intent. I brought up intent earlier intentionally because this is very important with this new bill. But the key is the law enforcement and cannot remove you for this. The way the elections workers invoke this is by filing a civil suit or a restraining order or something like that. And they're not going to do that on the spot. They can't do that on the spot. They got to go to a court in order. At a minimum, they're going to be able to file temporary restraining order against you.
Well, they got to come up with some evidence of some
sort.
The
point is that day, that moment, they're intimidated, you have to stop or you're going to get removed. They can't do that legally. They cannot do that legally at that moment. All you can say, here's what I tell people. This is what you say. I'm sorry you feel intimidated and threatened. Remember, did I say photos and videos?
Don't get violent.
Is there a reason we
don't get violent on me, Rich, right here?
Is there a reason we talk about photos and videos prior to? Okay? So you have your friend, somebody, videoing, or just you can do audio only, photo only, or audio video. You make sure you're capturing, these scenarios. Because when the elections worker sees you're capturing them, they're going to say, oh, I better be careful, right?
Yeah, because these guys cry wolf about everything. I mean, you're violent, you're extremist, you're this, you're that. But there's no evidence of that in a lot of cases,
but
in most cases.
I feel.
That's right. Yeah. I feel.
So I feel like I'm a freaking furry, but that doesn't make you one.
So some people may have heard of an incident this past primary where people were alleging that I was carrying a firearm in the elections office.
Hmm?
You guys haven't heard about that?
No, I didn't hear
that.
Oh, are you serious?
Serious.
Oh, I guess you're not watching a news cafe.
I don't.
I don't.
Sorry.
Get up and go, all right, Donnie.
Not on my list.
Sorry.
Not on my list
first,
of disinformation.
First thing I do every day. I get my coffee and then I spin up a news cafe.
Man. I want to start my day somewhat good.
You like eating crap for breakfast.
So listen to this. This is in the new bill. In any suit to enforce this section, a person who openly carries a firearm or imitation firearm shall be presumed to have engaged in intimidation prohibited by this section. Now, look, there's several things to unpack.
Presumed?
Several things to unpack.
So, hey, he's got a bulge in his pocket. Everybody tackle me.
Just because you are carrying?
Maybe that weird line on my belt line, maybe that's my insulin pump. Maybe for the sphincter out there, maybe that's my pepper spray.
You never know.
Who knows, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right? I just go because I think.
And while we're talking about the sphincter, it just shows that God has a sense of humor when they created the sphincter and called him a man.
You're talking about Tumbledum.
Whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, God does have a sense of humor. So,
we know that.
Here's the key. Remember this past February. Mark. Remember this past February or so, the County Board of Supervisors passed a resolution invoking Penal Code 171BB4, which said we're going to allow people with concealed weapons permits to carry on county property. Okay, that is on the books. That is Dunsky. Now, this new bill says a person who openly carries a firearm. Nobody's open carrying in California, you morons. Now, the reason they had to put openly carries in this bill as opposed to just carrying a firearm is because the state knows. They know what this county did in February.
Right.
And the chief legislative body in this county, which would be our Board of Supervisors, chief executive body, quasi-judicial body, they have said, nope, we're going to allow it on our county property. Well, what is the elections office? That would be county. That's a leased property, but it is still under county control. So that, for intents and purposes, that is a county facility. And that is the reason they had to put open carry in this new bill, because they could not prohibit concealed carry, because our Board of Supervisors, I'm sorry I'm yelling, but I'm freaking passionate about this stuff, because our County Board of Supervisors already said, yep, you can carry on county property, and the state's going to do nothing about it. That is why this reads open carry.
Well, that's why they're having such a to-do on one side of the aisle about the central, what do they call it when you vote to change the county to a charter county. So that's why they're throwing fits down there about the charter counties, because then the Board of Supervisors can change the rules locally that take the state out of the equation.
I was just wondering what the time was. We got 10:50.
10 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. We're probably not going to have time for calls, unfortunately.
It just cracks me up.
I still have a couple really important things.
Like we're going to jump into the ROV office.
I got a question in the chat room, if you want to hear it.
Okay, go ahead.
It says, would it be illegal to take a photo where one could see individual's info and how or she voted? He or she voted?
No, because that's a secret ballot. So
you couldn't do that legally.
The voter themselves would have to voluntarily present their ballot for others to see.
So the answer would be your information
isn't on the ballot.
Yeah, there'd be no information from the actual individual themselves.
Yeah,
the
but if somebody's holding a ballot, it can be presumed that it's their ballot, and you can identify them. So no, don't. And that's not the right thing to do, anyways, right? That's just not the right thing.
We don't want to dox anybody for the vote.
So again, things to unpack here. Presumed to have engaged, right? So guilty until proven innocent?
How
is the Constitutional Republic supposed to...
Where you
the
been?
Bill of Rights?
Where you been, man?
Oh, I know. I guess I've been... I've been on a news cafe. I guess I need to go somewhere.
Yeah, that's just that morning coffee and thing. Yeah.
But so it's guilty until proven innocent. Can you believe that?
So that's because
that is unconstitutional on its face.
That's a constitutional right to be guilty until you're proven innocent, isn't it?
Well, in California. So here's another part of it, though. The person aggrieved by this section, so that would be the person alleging the intimidation, alleging the harassment, may enforce the provisions in a suit at law. Okay, remember what I said. This is a civil. This is civil. This is not criminal. Here's the even worse part about it. An officer holding the election or conducting a canvass may enforce this act on behalf of an aggrieved person. Now, I don't think Thomas Toller is going to try to get any of us on this, but most of the other crooked registrars in the state of California, a voter can come up to their registrar and say, I feel intimidated, harassed by Dave over here, and I want you, the registrar, to file a suit on my behalf. It is right here in the freaking bill. So now this is the government that, remember what I said, taking your civil rights away under color of law. So if a registrar files one of these against an observer, that observer needs to counter with a civil suit with the violation of civil rights under color of law. But now you have the government with resources and money and lawyers suing an observer for these alleged intimidation and harassment. Oh, it gets better. The Attorney General may enforce the provisions of this act in the same way. So now if the registrar is too chicken to do it because they don't want to be held accountable in the court of public opinion, now the Attorney General we're filing suit. The registrar is not even involved in it. An election worker can call the Attorney General and say, I was intimidated and harassed, and here's the suspect. And then all of a sudden you get a certified letter in the mail, a subpoena, and the Attorney General, the power and resources of the state of California are now coming after you. Remember what I said about presumption of innocence here. You're guilty until proven innocence.
Well, then your defense is to be impoverished?
Mm-hmm. Oh, listen to this. Okay, here's the icing on the cake. All right, let's light the candle.
All right, let's hear it.
In order to prevail in this suit to enforce the provisions, a plaintiff need not prove that a defendant intended to intimidate, threaten, or coerce.
How do you do that?
They've changed the standard of the evidence rules.
Yes, absolutely.
Because what you've got is, you know, in a criminal, you've got beyond a reasonable shadow of a doubt. And in civil, it's clear and convincing.
Preponderance of the evidence.
You start out and you say that they were intimidating, and then at the end it says you don't have to prove that they're...
Yeah.
So you don't have to prove they did intent. Or didn't.
So what yeah, they did was they threw point. Out the rules of evidence.
It's gone.
Yeah, that's the problem.
In the same paragraph, it says a court may consider evidence of intent. May.
Doesn't well, say okay, a court so it shall. Depends on who you got sitting on the bench then, whether they...
Yeah, do you see? That's why this is. That's why I
so
call
there's
this
no
one,
rule of law. We're back.
Right.
To
that's
yeah,
why
exactly.
I call this one the doozy. Yeah. That's why I save this one for last. There are so many huge constitutional issues in this bill, and it is law now. It is law.
It'll have to be challenged. It just passed. Somebody will challenge it.
Well, but the problem is we have to know of this law, and we have to just take our rights.
Well, we're basically
right. We're not asking permission. Well, we're almost there. And they in this law, remember they said openly carrying a firearm. In this same law, they redefine what a firearm is. Oh yeah. Now the penal code has a very specific definition for firearm because those are the criminal statutes. In the civil statute, they redefined what a firearm is. Oh yeah, it's right.
So
if I
have my fingers in a pointed in a violent.
No, they haven't put the Pop-Tart cutout yet.
I was going to say, you have to have a Pop-Tart.
Yeah, it has to be the Pop-Tart cutout. But no, that's not here yet. Maybe next year they'll add that. So this was a doozy for a reason. It is. I don't even know. I'm almost speechless, and that's almost impossible for Rich Gallardo. But I mean, this is horrible.
That's an oxymoron.
I can't believe that it hasn't been challenged yet. You know,
well, it just went into effect like
on
2 weeks
24th,
ago.
But
it just
still,
went into effect wow. just very recently.
Well, but then you know, blatant disregard for the Constitution
yes.
and our Bill of Rights
yes.
and our rights
yes.
by this government in California is a huge problem because,
yeah.
you know, I forget who said it, that if you make it impossible for people to revolt civilly, then you
yeah.
make it I think it was Malcolm X, actually, I think said it.
Yeah.
Then you make violent revolution a must.
Well, yeah.
I mean, and I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying, you know, you just can't keep going down this road and taking away everybody's rights because after a while, people are just not going to put up with it.
I've been saying this for 3.5 years in this county. You know, our peaceful remedies are almost exhausted. And the state is actively removing any peaceful remedies that are remaining. That is intentional.
John F. Kennedy.
Yeah. That is intentional.
Was that John F. Kennedy?
John F. Kennedy, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable.
Well, there you go. Yeah, so it's a better quote. I mean, not that I have anything against Malcolm X. But, I mean, that says it right there. That's from a president of the United States.
Yeah.
And that's what they're kind of setting up.
Well, it's and again, for this new law, they can't kick you out for it. And if somebody says you're intimidating and harassing me and you can't do it per this new law, say... Our response, and again, have somebody videoing for you, if not you yourself, your response is to be, I'm sorry you feel intimidated and harassed, because that's not my intent.
Right.
Period. And they can't kick you out. And I will be sending a very detailed letter, just like I've done before. I don't know how much time we have left.
About 3 minutes.
Okay. I've done this before with previous election cycles. I've sent my evaluation of all of these election laws to RPD, to the sheriff, to the DA, to the registrar, to the county board of supervisors, and say, look, we know of this bullcrap. We know of this bullcrap, and we know the gray areas and loopholes, and we're going to invoke our rights, and you better be careful. You being the chief of police, the sheriff, the DA, you better be careful trying to show up and telling us we can't peacefully observe and invoke our rights.
That's the goal here, to just run these elections without the public being involved.
But I'm just saying, I've sent those letters to those officials before, and now they're going to get another letter with this AB 2642 and my evaluation of that, and say, no, you will not show up and kick us out because an election worker feels intimidated. You better not do it because then you will be violating our rights under color of law, civil or criminal, federal repercussions. So those letters, I have to send those to those powers to be,
right.
Because they have to be put on notice. You will not show up and be a part of be complicit to the violation of our rights just because the state says something. No. So again, this was the doozy.
I want to thank you for bringing it to our attention, because if people don't know that and they're at the polls and they have no idea, they would probably go along with whatever they were told to be.
Absolutely.
So not to create waves, so to speak.
Oh, and just so everybody knows, I took Election Day off.
So
I will be
question.
Traveling around. I will be freely moving around the cabin on Election Day, precincts, voter center, everything else, and I will be checking for such violations. I will be taking copious notes.
Well, we want to thank you for coming in.
I have a question. Can you just pop in? Can you just pop into a precinct?
Yes.
Okay. That was my question.
We're out of time. So
all right.
See you at the
well,
second
stay
half.
Tuned for the second half. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
We could all agree on what was right or wrong and what makes us free. Now every word's a battle, every thought's a crime. And we're losing ourselves in this game of divide. Well, I won't no more. I've had enough of all these voices screaming, tearing us up.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The Federal Emergency Management Agency is coming under increasing fire for its slow response in the wake of Hurricane Helene this past week. Nonprofit groups like Samaritan's Purse and the Salvation Army appear to be providing more disaster relief services to the victims than FEMA is. On the Salem Media Group program this week on The Hill with Tony Perkins, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee says the federal government simply isn't delivering essential services.
The point is, where is the federal government when we need them the most? And we need to thank God for Samaritan's Purse and organizations like them. But we also need to be able to say that our tax dollars are going to be used for our own citizens when they need it.
At his rally in Butler, Pennsylvania last night, former President Trump called FEMA's operations the worst disaster response since Hurricane Katrina back in 2005. A firefighters union has declined to endorse Kamala Harris for president.
The vice president stopped by a firehouse near Detroit on Friday during her swing through the battleground state of Michigan, but she failed to win the backing of the International Association of Firefighters. For 2024, the union declined to back any candidate in the White House race. Last month, the Teamsters also decided against an endorsement. Harris still enjoys support from many unions, but has struggled to lock down the same support from organized labor that Joe Biden won 4 years ago. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Tropical storm Milton standing off Mexico this morning, today rather, but it's gaining strength and is expected to intensify rapidly as it moves east toward Florida. The union representing striking U.S. dock workers has reached a deal to suspend the walkout till January 15th. A lengthy shutdown could have raised prices and goods around the country right as the holiday season is bearing down on us. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sleep Financial Group is not a law firm.
If you own a timeshare, don't miss this public service announcement from Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group.
If you receive an unsolicited phone call or mail piece to discuss selling, renting, or especially canceling your timeshare, don't fall for it. If you really want out of your timeshare, hang the phone up immediately or throw that mail piece in the trash and contact your timeshare resort or Wesley Financial Group for assistance with your timeshare. As the only Inc. 500 timeshare cancellation company, our knowledge, experience, and results has made Wesley a trusted resource for over 40,000 families we've helped get out of their timeshare. Give us a call and I'll send you our timeshare exit information kit free with the straight facts about your timeshare and all of your options for cancellation.
Call for your free info kit. 800-885-3333. That's 800-885-3333. 800-885-3333.
Polls are open in Kazakhstan for a landmark referendum on building the country's first nuclear power plant. The proposal is backed by Kazakhstan's government and the country's president, Kasym Jomart Tokayev, who hopes to boost the country's energy security. However, the use of nuclear materials remains a controversial and sensitive topic in Kazakhstan, which was used as a testing ground for the Soviet Union's nuclear program. Critics have also drawn attention to the project's high costs. Several provinces in central Thailand bracing for flooding today as the government announces it will release water from a big dam after weeks of frequent heavy rain. Rain stopped in the northern city of Chiang Mai, but many people, especially the elderly, remain cut off by floodwaters that in some areas were waist-high and higher. Volunteer rescue teams often traveling by boat have been working to supply them with food and get them out. News and analysis at townhall.com. Dutch airline KLM has announced a round of cost-cutting and other measures.
The measures aim to boost the carrier's finances as it continues to recover from the COVID pandemic that grounded planes worldwide. KLM CEO says along with many other airlines, KLM, quote, is suffering from high costs and shortages of staff and equipment. The carrier says the package of measures is intended to improve its operating result by $497 million in the short term.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Today is Sunday, October the 6th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actress Britt Eklund. She is 82 years old. Pro Football Hall of Fame coach Tony Dungy turns 69. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, the Republican of Louisiana, is 59. And Basketball Hall of Famer Rebecca Lobo is 51. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Chat room is fixed there. That was for you, Rory.
Rory.
How do you say Rory fast five times? Can you do that?
Rory.
Got it.
Anyway, we're back. You're listening to Sovereign Minds, home of Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. We have a special guest in here today, and we got Dolores Lucero in, and she's running for SCOE. I wanted to give
Shasta Lake City Council
as mm-hmm. well, and so we wanted to welcome her in here and give her kudos coming into the furnace a little bit, so to speak.
Coming into the den.
Yeah. I mean, we want to give I believe in free speech. I believe in giving everybody a shot. I believe in everybody's got a position. I don't always agree with everything everybody says, but I don't agree with anything on anybody that everybody says.
So. Well, we did open it up and say that if you get a hold of us, we will try to work with you. So that's what we did. But
that doesn't mean we're not going to ask any hard questions.
and we don't know what our callers will ask.
There you go.
And with that, before we get to you, we do have to run the town hall.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot.
Sorry. Our 3 minutes, we always do this.
I forgot.
For local stuff.
Here we go.
So here you go.
Don't be scared.
I won't.
Okay. Well, let's see.
Maybe.
I thought it was running.
And
hey,
are we
hooked up yet? What's going on?
And
give me just a second.
Live radio is just so wonderful sometimes.
Let me do something here. For some reason, maybe when I came in and it got on the internet, it probably screwed it up. But let's try it now.
Good day.
There we go.
Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, and I'm here with the latest local update. On November 5th, 2024, Shasta County voters will participate in the presidential general election. The ballot includes national, state, and local races, as well as various measures. Voters will choose candidates for president, U.S. Senate, Congressional District 1, State Senate, and Assembly seats, and local positions like City Council and school board members. There are also 13 local measures and 10 state measures to consider. Shasta County County will have 59 different ballots to accommodate various districts. Residents can register to vote online, by mail, or in person until October 21st. Early voting begins October 7th with mail-in ballots sent out and drop-off locations opening. Voters have multiple options for submitting their ballots, including mail, drop boxes, and in-person voting on Election Day. As Shasta County prepares for this important election, local law enforcement has been working to address community safety concerns. In July 2024, the Reading Police Department began planning a major operation targeting sex offenders in Shasta County. On October 1st, 2024, they executed this plan in collaboration with other local law enforcement agencies, including the Shasta County Sheriff's Office, Anderson Police Department, and parole officers from the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. The operation involved visiting residences and motels, as well as tracking offenders through GPS monitoring systems. They checked on 43 registered sex offenders and 3 additional parolees, aiming to serve arrest warrants and conduct compliance checks. 9 individuals were arrested for various violations, including failure to register, parole violations, and drug possession. Notably, officers arrested Joseph Minnett, 39, who was found with child sex abuse materials and a loaded firearm. The Reading Police Department emphasized its commitment to continuing such collaborative efforts to ensure community safety. While law enforcement was taking action, some community members felt compelled to take matters into their own hands. A group called Reading Dads Against Predators, DAP, was formed in Shasta County this summer as a local version of To Catch a Predator. Their goal was to expose potential child predators by posing as minors online. The group's tactics gained thousands of online followers, with many residents supporting their efforts due to frustration over the perceived lack of prosecution by the district attorney and increased sex-related crimes. On August 16th, a DAP operation led to a violent confrontation with Keegan Taft Rivers in Caldwell Park. Rivers was hospitalized and later arrested for attempting to meet a minor for lewd acts. 3 DAP members were also arrested, facing charges including assault and false imprisonment. All parties have been arraigned and released on bail, with court dates set for October. The case highlights the complex issues surrounding citizen-led efforts to combat crime. Amidst these law enforcement and community initiatives, a scandal involving a prominent local figure has shaken the community. Susan Wilson, former executive director of Youth Options Shasta and president of the League of Women Voters, was fired on September 18th following an investigation into alleged financial misconduct. The Reading Police Department is investigating claims that Wilson used her position to give herself unauthorized pay increases totaling at least $30,000. Wilson has been a prominent figure in Shasta County since 1992, serving on the County Board of Education and later as Executive Director of Youth Options Shasta. Recently, Wilson faced criticism for her leadership of the League of Women Voters, particularly regarding the organization's stance on the Pledge of Allegiance at candidate debates. The situation has sparked controversy and led to multiple Freedom of Information Act requests to various county organizations. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Join the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
Well, there you have it. Yeah. That last little bit of the League of Women Voters kind of rankled me because when I've shown up to a couple of their meetings, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance, you don't want it. I mean, what country are you living in? And it's just insane that they don't. I mean, come on. Really? At a candidates forum, you don't want to do the Pledge of Allegiance? So what allegiance should we pledge to? That'd be my question.
Oh, she was kind of behind that one and pushing it through. I can't believe that the people went along with it.
Besides, well, most people didn't, that because if I remember correctly,
I think it was
Hobbs or Jensen or somebody stood up and started. Or no, was it Corky Harm? I don't remember who did it, but somebody stood up and started doing the pledge. I don't remember who it was.
Yeah, but she's the one that anyway put it into place, and then she's caught, you know, taking funds.
Well, that's worse. It's one thing to not say the pledge; it's another thing.
I'm just saying some of these people need to be looked at. But anyhow, so.
All right, we have Dolores here with us, and we want to welcome her, and we want to give her kudos for coming in. And she has got a pile of papers, almost the full breadth of the table here. So I'm not sure where she wants to start, but you're up, Dolores. Give us what you got.
Okay. Well, my name is Dolores Lucero, and I'm actually running for 2 positions for the Shasta County Office of Education School Board Trustees, and also for the City Council for the City of Shasta Lake. I lived in this county for about 20 years. I'm also a member of the ACLU, and also my business is Shasta County Watchdog, and I have 3 children, and I've been in attending multiple meetings, and I've been involved since I moved into Shasta County, and it's been ongoing since I've been here.
Okay.
So what made you want to run What made you want to get in the hot box or in the
for both?
The den of I don't know what we anyway. What makes you want to be on the council or on the SCOE?
Well, the city council in the city of Shasta Lake has multiple people in that city who's been running the city who's basically violating multiple laws for years. And nobody has called them out, and nobody's looked into it, and nobody's done anything. And for the school board, I do have qualifications. I've been on the school board for the Whitmore. And when I was there as a school board member, I actually discovered they were committing fraud. And so when I got involved, by the time I was done with a friend of mine who actually involved me in regarding the fraud that was going on, and we were able to remove multiple teachers and staff there. The only persons were left was the staff, the bus driver and the cook and the secretary.
I want to go back to Shasta Lake. I just have a hard time that the mayor, if she's still mayor, I believe Janice Powell is still sitting as mayor there, that she did not have to step down when she was found guilty of adult abuse,
elder abuse,
right, and all of that that went on, and mm-hmm. nobody was talking about it really, not a big deal. How she can still hold not just that office, but she holds two offices. She's also a member of the Chamber of Commerce.
She's actually the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce in the same city of the city of Shasta Lake, which is prohibited because she also approves her own grants, her own funding that goes to the Chamber of Commerce. They have a contract. It's actually a contract that she receives $10,000, and if they need any money, Kay Kobe attends the meetings, and she presents a letter saying that how much money they need, and Janice Powell and a council member approves it. And it goes to the Chamber of Commerce, which it goes into her pocket. So, yes.
Yeah,
it goes into the Chamber of Commerce account, is what you're saying.
It's her salary.
It's her salary,
correct.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I would think that's a conflict of interest to begin with, no matter what.
It's criminal and actually is prohibited because I actually, I made a copy, but I can't release it, but you'll see that I actually took it to the FBI along with what she was found guilty as elder abuse, elder financial abuse and breach of trust and breach of duty. And so I took all this and they actually accepted it and they gave me a receipt saying they accepted the case. And they were going to talk to the DA and submit it to the DA with another deputy who was investigating
the
case.
Well, I don't have a whole lot of faith in the FBI at this point, considering what they've been doing on the national scale. They probably got some good agents down in the ranks, rank and file, but I don't know. I mean, it's been...
Well, I just couldn't believe Shasta Lake City Council's take on it was, well, it's no big deal. And I turned to somebody and I said, I suppose if she was guilty of child abuse, it would be no big deal. What's the difference of child abuse? You're abusing the elderly. It's still abuse, and why she wasn't made to step down.
It's actually criminal, Penal Code 368. So it is criminal. And I also took it to the Attorney General. Here's a letter that I received by the Attorney General basically telling me to report it, to take it to the DA. And, you know, and so
boy,
I know.
Tell you, I haven't got a lot of faith in any of those people either in light of what's been going on and very slanted, prosecutions,
right.
Very slanted people that they target. If you're left wing, they don't seem to want to go after you. If you are conservative, they seem to go after you with full force.
Yeah, and I reached out to the media and said, hey, how come you're not covering this story, what's been going on? And they say that, you know, basically, you know, the same old story. Well, they're too tied up with another story.
Well, again, that's the same old media.
Yeah.
The mainstream media is they don't say anything of value mm-hmm. anymore, if you ask me. And then you've got, you know, left and right media, I guess. I guess we're the right media, according to the left. But I kind of like to think that we're the media that reports the truth.
Right.
And, you know, I will report the truth regardless of whether I agree with it or not. I don't see that on the other side, and that's part of the problem. We're getting a lot of disinformation or no information at all. It's being completely blocked out.
Yeah, and I think like Shasta Lake City, a lot of the stuff, because they think they're small or whatever, that it's not relevant to what's happening in the county, and it is. People, they're pretty kept quiet. So
what are you going to do about it if you get elected?
Well, definitely, if I get elected, I will definitely bring back the utilities and basically overturn it and review the budget, because on the budget, when they approved it, they actually approved it and went down the line saying this budget's also going to cover salaries and increase people's salaries. Employees are going to be making more than the city managers. I mean, are you serious? It's a two-year budget.
The budget for the city council is what you're saying?
For the budget for the whole city. For the whole count, for the
they're going to, so they're going to, how much are they increasing it by?
I think it was, I don't have
my. Just give me a rough.
I think it says here between, 40 revenue percentage from 46% to 54%. So approximately 18%, they're saying the inflation. That's why they got to do
this. So where are they getting the money from?
Well, that's going to come out of the taxpayers. They're going to increase our water rate. And, I a lot of the citizens, I've been going door to door. They're having a hard time already paying the utilities, $300, $400. It's like, are you kidding me? This is really a burden on the citizens that are low income, Social Security. So I will bring this back to the table, and I will make, if I could get the votes to overturn it, to review the whole budget, I would make some cuts, because we can't keep on asking the citizens to, to sacrifice to pay employees constantly over and over. Whatever reason, it's always asked more and more and more. What's going to happen to those citizens? Those citizens are not going to be able to afford their home by the time they're done with us, mm-hmm.
So was it voted on or no? They just...
Yes, it was voted 4-1. The only one who voted no was Tina. And Greg Watkins actually voted for it. And I'm not surprised that he continued rubber stamping everything. And I gone to the meeting and basically say, hey, you can't be voting on Janet's, funding the grants and all this, because it's a conflict of interest. It's prohibited. You have a contract. And they still vote on it. They still vote on everything. And they think it's okay, because if you change anything, what's going to happen is they're going to contradict what they've been doing for years. So they just, continue supporting this. And there's people who actually come to the meetings, request for grants. They don't even have a license or a 501c3. They just constantly rubber stamp and approve everything. That's another thing I would change. I would definitely cut that, funding for those 501c3s, nonprofits, supposedly.
Right. So who's all running, and how many positions are open on Shasta Lake City Council?
I think there's Tony Coates who's running, Greg Watkins is running, Tina's running, and Dan, and I'm running. But Tony Coates was a city employee for 29 years, and she wants to get back in there. She actually was part of the corruption that has been going on in the city of Shasta Lake for years, because she was in the in the lawsuit of mine, because she was part of it. You could see where she actually failed to comply with some laws in regarding the recall. So it's people just want to keep on coming back.
I have a question on the 501c3s. Do you know which 501c3s are being funded?
Yes. I think I could remember the top of my head. It's actually, here's something that Kate Covey decided to send to one of the radios, basically saying that she was been involved with the Mountain Gate Service Board of Directors, because the nonprofit organization Shasta Dam is
Danbury,
which is Kate Covey's own little nonprofit, supposedly, and then the Shasta Lake Gateway Library, Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce, Shasta Lake Hextorin, then the Shasta Lake Gardening Project doesn't even have a 501c3s, because I looked them all up through the Secretary of State. There's multiple things in here. They don't even have 501c3s.
So how can they give a grant just to a private citizen?
Yeah, that's what they've been doing for years.
Hmm. I guess interesting. We do have a caller on the line. We've got Terry. Good morning, Terry.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Dolores. To your point, And she's making a good point about the mayor of Shasta Lake. I had talked to Watkins myself. I was going to interview him, and I talked to him, and I talked to the city manager, and they were trying to claim that this elder abuse thing was a family matter.
Correct.
You know, it just unbelievable. And so I'd like to hear her take on that, and what she thinks about, again, it's a disappointment. At least it was when I talked to Greg Watkins about his positions. I have no idea why he would take the position he did, but, it's just a family matter. Well, you know, it seems to me like these family matters are costing the public a lot of money and a lot of integrity for our elected officials. So I wanted to get her take on that.
Yes. It might have been for her to, you know, because they do say it's a family matter. But as long as she's a mayor, sitting mayor, and is still elected, it becomes a problem because she's elected. And so, therefore, it does affect her position because this whole document here, including a couple other ones that I submitted to the FBI, he was going to take this to the district attorney because it does. She was found guilty. She still has to pay a lot of money back. And so, as a mayor, for her, think it's okay. It's because everybody always wants to sugarcoat everything, to sweep it under the carpet. It's no big deal. And you know, it's like, are you kidding me? This is a person who actually violated her own mother. And so you imagine how she's violating our rights and the citizens' rights in the city of Shasta Lake, continue to take money from people?
Yeah. I'd like, we're dealing. Go ahead, Terry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Dolores has a good point there. I mean, you know, when you look at what these guys have done, I mean, I was surprised on the answer I got. And Dolores is right about that. When you have a situation where it's the person's integrity who you elect, and this stuff is going on, I mean, but to me, I felt that Greg Watkins was sweeping it under the rug, and I agree with her. I think, and the city manager was kind of going the same way, but kind of trying to dodge it a little bit. And I think that, you know, I think that it's really something to have a mayor and what they're doing to those poor people up there with charging them all these different fees is insane. And I think that it's just a reflection of a lot of the city councils and a lot of Northern California. And I think the more we peel back this onion, the more we're going to find.
I think we find a lot of people that say they're conservatives that really aren't. And it becomes a good old boys club of people at the whatever level, whether it's a board of supervisors, the city or Shasta Lake or whatever. They tend to become a part of government, and then the old saying from Lord Acton is, government corrupts and absolute government corrupts absolutely. So that's part of the problem. I think once you get in there, you get entrenched, you get used to what's going on, and you become friends with the other guys, and then it becomes a self-serving endeavor.
I have one more quick question for Dolores.
Sure.
Dolores, do you think that there was maybe some motivation? And this is hypothetical, but I just kind of want to get your take on it. Maybe there was something where some of these people who were standing up for your mayor had some political gain, maybe a vote they wanted. Was there anything like that? So maybe they wanted a certain vote, so they kind of were willing to turn a blind eye to it. What do you think about that?
Yes, they actually, everybody who stands up and backs up Kate Covey, Janice Powell, the city manager, all these people who back these people up, they all have something to lose. So they all have something to gain. They've been gaining because they've been taking and taking things from the citizens. And like I said, you know, like Janice Powell, who is actually the director, office manager of the Chamber of Commerce, also Kate Covey is the treasurer. And also she's a treasurer for the Shasta Dam, Jamboree. And she holds four nonprofit organizations, four including her 501c3. So she holds five, and five of them. And she attends these meetings and submits little letters saying that she needs funding, and she gets it all. And she's the secretary for the Chamber of Commerce, who represents also for the Mayor Janice Powell. So this has been going on. This is all freaking criminal.
Yeah, I find that problematic. I do have a question directly from the chat room about your.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Go ahead.
Well, whoever.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you serve your full term at Whitmore School District, or were you recalled?
I was never recalled. They tried to recall me. They didn't succeed at all. So you
served your term.
Yes, I think. I can't remember that far back, but I think we moved. We sold our house up there, so we had to move. And okay.
You got anything else, Terry?
No, I'm good. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. Yeah, when I first heard about this with Janice Powell and the elder abuse and Kay Covey and everything, I thought, no, you know, this isn't what's really going on. And then when I did some investigating, it's like, yeah, this is what's going on up there. And they just kind of like, it's no big deal.
Even the bank is involved. You know that? The bank. The bank for the, what is it, the bank that we have over there.
Tri-County.
It's also involved. She's also a member of the bank and secretary of the Chamber of Commerce of Shasta Lake.
So yeah, but those two aren't the same thing.
But she is involved in that they have their funding at the same bank. So therefore, it is a conflict of interest because she runs.
When you say have their funding, I'm
meaning their funds,
they have a bank account. Yeah, but that wouldn't draw the bank into anything.
No, but for her to be involved in the Chamber of Commerce, it's prohibited for her to be involved.
Well, I can understand that. You can't be on the Chamber of Commerce board and then be a member of the city council. And then be funding yourself to your nonprofit.
Yeah, going up and saying, yeah,
I don't know how you could draw the Tri-County into that. They just have a bank account.
Well, the thing is, I did report it. Every single person, they're all under investigation, including the bank manager. The bank manager should not be in the Chamber of Commerce because that letter that I showed you that.
Okay, so
is
that,
criminal
that, okay,
activity.
That's kind of what is that. So the bank manager is a member of the Chamber of Commerce as well, but that's a stretch too. I mean,
she votes. So when she votes and makes decisions, but she's also the secretary, meaning she writes everything. You take notes and you're involved with a mayor knowing that she holds two positions, which it's criminal. It's prohibited. I read some of the laws that from the bank, you know, where it's prohibited for you to be involved in organizations that you actually oversee their accounts. So, you know, those are the kind of things you got to look at the bank laws and also what.
Yeah, you gotta put a definition of oversee. If you have a bank account at the bank and you're just depositing funds and operating out of the bank, that's not really overseeing the account. Overseeing the account would be having control of the account where you actually write checks and deposit things. So that might be a little bit of a stretch.
If I'm understanding this correctly though, what you're asserting is that you have a person that's on the Chamber of Commerce, you have a person that's the president of the bank, she is the secretary of the bank, she has nonprofits, and then the Chamber of Commerce is giving funds to those nonprofits.
That I can see as a problem.
Right.
Which she is of the Chamber of Commerce as well.
Yes.
Right. So they're all involved, so they're all connected, so they're all breaking some violation laws that it actually it's criminal because the laws what it says there, you know, that's why I'm saying that there's some laws that I've been reading. It's been going on the day I was elected in the city council the first time. That's why they came after me. They retaliated against me and they had to try to silence me because I was exposing them. And the same persons were involved, Janice Powell and Kay Covey and Rose Smith. Rose Smith also holds a position. So, but it's kind of odd that also, Kay Covey is also on the public health advisor board, meaning she also promotes vaccines, but she also sits on a board for the county to make decisions for the health. So.
And with that right there, I think we need to go to a break.
We do.
And if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
See you in three.
Young fan, play the beat.
I'm a go, colonize Mars.
Spitty's fire bars change the way your driving car is. If you hate me, you're racist. I'm African American. They're hiring people based on race and heritage. They're grooming kids, teaching them about trans, gay sex. I'm grooming my children to take over SpaceX. I have X running better after slashing paychecks. I'm a billionaire, but at a time I couldn't pay rent. I do it for the memes. Politicians have schemes. There's not a left or right. They're all on the same team. They say that I'm a Zionist and anti-Semitic. Which one is it? Make up your mind. They're all pathetic. I'm hated by the right. I'm hated by the left. Guess that means I'm doing something right. How quickly they forget. Call me radical Republican, but my life is EV. Bob Iger is the clown. So is Stephen King. Mark Cuban is a dork. Zuckerberg too. The government is spending all our money. We should sue. I paid $44 billion to acquire X. Hunter Biden paid $44 billion for sex.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply, and we're excited to celebrate our fifth anniversary with you. October 4th through the 13th is your chance to save big on products like 2.5-gallon Ranger Pro for only $59 a jug, low mulch mix for only $36 a yard, or pavers for your new walkway or patio start at $3.99 a square foot. It's that time of year to prevent the weeds before they start with 50-pound bags of Dimension pre-emergent covering over 10,000 square feet and on sale for only $33.99 a bag. Considering a water feature, we have pond liner pumps and all the accessories to make your water feature come to life. Needing to prep the driveway before the winter rains? Road base starts at $34 a yard. Maybe you're planning a winter garden this year. Our popular Garden Power Soil will be on sale for only $51.99 a yard. So come celebrate and save with us at Laux Landscape Supply, October 4th through the 13th at the intersection of Durst, Stern Creek, and Airport Road. Check us out online at LauxLandscape.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. For all your construction, landscape supplies, and rental needs, Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit SimpsonU.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Called What They Fear the Most.
Black folks with dreadlocks and rednecks with boots, Hispanics and patriots in the same troop. They told us we're enemies till we became friends. Puppet strings coming from D.C. again. They got everyone willing to purchase their lies. They stay in the shadows and watch us all fight. 'Cause if we're at war with each other nonstop, we won't see the evil come straight from the top. But what they fear most is the neighborhoods coming together, not just in fair weather. And what they fear most is the red, white, and blue in the streets saying screw the elites. Just 'cause we question don't make us outlaws. The problem is billionaires trying to play God. But we love this country and cheer for each other. We get the same goals. And that's what they fear the most. Hell's privileged 'cause it ain't you or me. The fat cats, they want us to stay on our knees. Becoming statistics that nobody knows. Our children brainwashed by the NWO. They got everyone willing to purchase their lies. They stay in the shadows and watch us all fight. 'Cause if we're at war with each other nonstop, we won't see the evil come straight from the top.
But what they fear most is the neighborhoods coming together.
Radio from North State, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your truth radio. Yeah, we're here in the studio with Dolores Lucero, and we're talking about on all the problems that we're dealing with across the board in government. And so we've got candidates that are trying to get in and do some change, and we like to give everybody a chance to come in and give us their point of view. That doesn't mean we're going to be easy, but we're going to be fair. So, where are we at? Have we got a caller or anything going on out there? Or what?
What is something else you would like to get out there? What would you do if you got both positions?
That would be a miracle first.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying hypothetically.
Well, I'm just going to have to play my ear and see where this goes, because I know there's a lot of people who are running, and there's a lot of people who have different opinion and different beliefs who they should vote for. And so I just pray for the citizens if they don't pick the right person, because as you guys said earlier, you know, people get in politics and next thing you know, they change. I'm not going to change who I am. I'm not going to stop changing and looking, investigating what I do. And I'm going to continue because that's I'm not doing to investigate so I could get in there. I want what's right for the people, because these citizens are actually being impacted by our state government already. And then for our local, you know, people who are running, who have these positions, they're taking advantage of them too. So what's going to be left of them by the time we get, excuse my language, screwed over by the government?
So how many positions are opened at the city council?
The city council, I think there's only three.
Three that are up to fill.
Correct. That's Janice Powell, her position, Tina, and Greg, I think. So,
okay. I guess we have a caller.
We do. We've got Dick on the line. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What do you got, Dick?
You know, on the first branch of service to ever be formed was the United States Marine Corps. Was on November 10th, 1775. This January 10th, they'll be celebrating their 249th birthday ball at the Wind River. And every year when they have the ball, they sell raffle tickets for guns. Anyway, I'm helping them. I'm a Navy veteran. I'm not a Marine Corps, but I'm helping them with tickets. Anyway, they printed 150 tickets for a Glock 17 and a Glock 19. They're both generator Gen 3 9mm. Tickets are $10. I have a lot of tickets. If somebody like to purchase them, they could give me a call. Dick Wilkinson, 530-246-9131, or come by my house. My wife, Frances, I live at the house with the big red barn that's off of South Bonneville. That's lit up big time every Christmas. Drop by, we might be home, or give a call again, 530-246-9131. That's the Glock 19 is a reduced size Glock 17. It's made for concealed carry. It's smaller than a Glock 17, but they're both 9mm, and they're both Glocks. Anyway, there's 125 tickets going to be sold in advance and 25 at the event. So I have tickets, so give me a call if you're interested.
All right. Very good.
And they're $10 each?
$10 each, that's right.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I'll probably get a couple of them.
You lucky dog. That'd be great.
Just ask Linda.
Okay. Anyway, let me get my phone number one more time.
Okay.
530-246-9131.
All right. Very good,
thanks
Dick.
A lot, Dick. We appreciate you.
Thanks,
all
right.
Dick.
Mr. Ticketman.
I guess we have another caller as well.
Do
on
we?
Line.
Oh, we.
Yeah, is it Wilson or Wixon? Wilson, I think.
I apologize for my
name. Vincent.
Vincent.
Oh, Vincent.
Hello, Vincent. Sorry about that. I'm learning. What can we do for you?
I did a Lexis Nexus search. Miss Lucera has her own problems in that little, seems like the whole city is, administered by, people that can't keep their money from, either funds or, keep the elections honest. Didn't she,
wasn't she convicted herself of providing fictitious names against her recall? That's what the article that I just read said.
Like,
she's got her own problems.
Let her,
she's like a little crooked city to me.
Well, let her respond, and then we can go from there.
I'll tell you one thing about me. I will never break the law. I will not lie. I will not cheat. And I'm not a person who would break the law to have something that is going to pay, I mean, like a city position for lousy $300. I had my business. I had everything. I had multiple homes. And for me to be...
that doesn't answer
no,
the question.
Okay,
though.
I will answer
you.
I will answer you. I will never break the law. That's one thing. Just remember that. I actually was exposing the city of Shasta Lake. Within 6 months, I discovered they were breaking the law for 14 years. They were approving the funds for 14 years without having all five council members to approve the funds like the state law is required. So all these people who came after me was Janice Powell, Kate Covey, Rose Smith, and even the fire department came after me because I was exposing everybody who was actually breaking the law. So they have to come after me. Kate Covey was gathering signatures in a city that she doesn't live in. She lives in Mountain Gate, so she came out door to door. So the multiple people came forward. So I reported it to an attorney that I spoke to, and then I hired him for him to file something. Because we cannot have somebody at that time to come in our city and gather signatures. So I reported a crime. And so therefore, they turn around and used it, everything against me. And so that's why I was convicted. But then when they went to court, the judge did not allow some of the juries to change their mind. So therefore, it went forward. So, no, I did not commit a crime, and I will never break the law. I was convicted. Yes, I was, sir. But, yes, I'm still fighting that. I'm actually in the middle of filing some other motions and everything. So that way my case could get overturned and then be exposed who actually violated the laws and broke the laws. So, no, I do not have anything going on right now. And the record searchlight in Mangus actually said things that he should never said. If I would have known the laws the way I know them now, I would have sued him in a heartbeat because he said election fraud, that I went out there and I was convicted of election fraud. No, I wasn't. I was convicted of reporting a crime. So, therefore...
Well, yeah, but you can't be convicted of reporting a crime. What was
right.
the actual conviction that you were cited with? What was the charge?
They used a code that was never been used. It should have been Penal Code 148.5. Instead, they use a Penal Code 134, meaning saying that I submitted false documents.
So that's what the conviction was for.
Correct.
Submitting false documents.
Right. But it was never. I would never do that. I would never break the law. There's absolutely not. I would never jeopardize.
That answer your question, Vincent? Do you got any more?
It's the same answer that you get from Tim Walz or any of them. It's the same. They would never do that, but the fact is they did it.
No.
You know, and that's what I go off on.
No, I didn't
do it. It just seems like it's a crooked little city to me.
No, I would never do it. Thank you very much.
One crook doesn't run at the other.
Thank you for your question. I'm sure a lot of people ask the same thing. I would not hesitate to answer, and I will repeat it over and over because there's no way I will break the law, just like I said.
Thanks for the call, Vincent. We do appreciate your
I have a question for you. Do you live in Shasta Lake?
No, I think we already
eventually,
have.
Yes, we got him to prepare to the other caller. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
Oh,
you're fine.
I was just curious. Yeah. Before we get to Lori, I have a question in the chat room. How come you do not stand for the Pledge of Allegiance during the Board of Supervisor meeting?
I don't respect people who actually violate the laws. And so, therefore, I won't.
Yeah, but
do
that has nothing to do
with
it.
Yeah, but I do. The person who's actually calling to stand up to undo the pledge, I will not do that. Because if that person, I know they're violating laws, I won't do that. at all. I don't respect somebody. If I had somebody who bought, basically follows the law and believes what he says and is going to do what he says, then I would do it. But otherwise, I'm not a follower. I won't do that. And therefore,
I got to kind of disagree with you, though. Well, you know, because when I went into the service, I took an oath to uphold the Constitution. And I said the Pledge of Allegiance. I didn't agree with who was the president at the time and was telling us that we had to actually say the pledge. So that was pledging allegiance to the country, not to the government. So, and to the Constitution. But I digress. Let's move on.
And with that, we have another caller. We've got Lori on the line. Good morning, Lori. Are you there, Lori?
Yep. Hey, good morning.
Hey.
Morning.
Wanted to follow up on this thread and focus on the time, I think it was earlier this year at the Board of Supervisor meeting, your guest tore up the Constitution. So if you could answer a little bit more about, is that how she referring to the Constitution yet tears it up, and it's on the archive, everyone that follows it is that. So is that something... Has she had a change of thought on that? And I appreciate her efforts exposing what's going on in Shasta Lake City. It's awful, and I live in this city. So I'll just hang up and listen over the air. But tearing up the Constitution is a very serious thing. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Lori.
Yeah, I don't hesitate to do something, and when I do it, I mean it. I'm not going to back down, and I actually, like I said, it's meaningful when you have your political people who basically are saying something and turn around and do something else. So, therefore, I wanted to use that as an example. It doesn't mean nothing if somebody's basically not enforcing your, you know, honoring the Constitution and following. I just don't respect people like that, and I won't, and I will not back down.
Well, there's another chat room reference here, and she just... I don't know what they say. It says basically she doesn't stand for the prayers either. And she,
I asked her that already. Yeah,
for the prayers?
Yeah. The only
prayers. Oh, prayers.
Oh, prayers. No, prayers.
Like I said, I will not stand up for prayers for people who believe different. I believe in God and I believe in Jesus, and I actually got baptized in August, this just recently, because I believe I got to be right when the Lord does come. I want to be right, so when it's time, I don't have to worry about where I'm going. And yes, Jesus also turned tables when there was corruption on the temple. He turned tables. So therefore, I have a right to be upset when I see corruption. So I will turn tables just like Jesus.
Oh, there you go. So what, we got about 10 minutes left. Mm-hmm. And is there anything else that you feel that's important to get your case, prosecute your case, basically? Here?
and before you go too far, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, please give your contact information.
Don't have any information for them to contact me. I attend all the Board of Supervisor meetings. That's where I'm at. But I usually don't get my phone number or emails because in the past I got threatened emails and threatened phone calls. So I really don't want to put my phone number out there. So, you know, for my safety, I'd rather not. But this is, I'm going to bring something to your attention that's really, really important. There was a friend of mine that actually was, this is from the school board. One of her children was attending the Gateway, and I guess it had to do with the vaccines. And so she showed me all the documents, everything that she was going through the Gateway. So I said, oh my gosh, they're basically telling you if you don't comply, you're going to go to jail for 1 year. Well, how can you go to jail for 1 year when they're telling you it's a misdemeanor? But yet, at the same time, we know our Constitution rights. If they're telling you you're going to go to jail for 1 year, then you got to have representation. You got to have an attorney. And so I was able to help her, and her case was dismissed because, as we know, if you know what I mean? It's like if they're charging you a criminal, then you have a
so
right.
So they said they were going to charge her if she did not get her child vaccinated?
Yes, and so she was doing a homeschool, though. And these are penalties. They told her that it was going to cost her more and more every time when she didn't comply with those laws. But I'm just saying the corruption is everywhere, including the judges, including...
Why do you support Mary Rickards, then?
Well, here's why I support Mary. And I wasn't going to talk about Mary, but you brought it up.
Well, you got this up there, and it's been sitting on the table because... She supported all of this. She supported everything that had anything to do with getting vaxxed, closing down the courthouse. She says she's a conservative. I don't believe she is. I think that a lot of the people that get elected in this county say they're conservatives, but they're not. So, it's kind of a opposite thing. Why would, if you're saying this, why would you support Mary? I don't understand.
Here's why I support her. And I'm going to be honest with you. I believe every person has a constitution right equally. That means her opinion and everybody's opinion should be treated equal, regardless how you feel.
And I agree with that, but that doesn't but that doesn't mean I support everybody's position.
Right, but what I'm saying is that it takes three votes. Okay, you can't move anything, move forward without those three votes. So it's not just Mary. Because Mary doesn't hold three.
I'm not saying it is Mary. I'm having problems with Tim Garmin. He said one thing and did another when he got in there.
Well, that's because of the groups who actually go out there.
No, but that's not an answer. I don't change my opinion because of the groups. I changed my opinion because I changed my opinion. I've decided to change it. He went in as a constitutional conservative and completely flipped into something else.
Right. But see, the thing is, a lot of people didn't do their homework like I do. I do my homework before I say something. I back it up. And before I, you know, but people think that just because he did something great, then you wonder why he changed his mind. It's not that he changed his mind. That's the way he is, and that's what he thinks, and that's what he feels. So when he got in there, it's not his fault. It was the people who helped him to put him in there. And we don't do our research and our homework, then we wonder why are we...
Well,
I'll agree with that to a certain point.
No, but if a guy says, hey, I'm for this, and elect me on this stance, and when you get in there, he completely changes his stance.
Right, but
it's not the people's fault. It's his fault for lying about it.
Well, then we go to Mary, because Mary says she stands for certain things, and she does not follow through and does the total opposite.
Right.
So I'm conflicted here about how you can support one and not the other. Or, however you want to look at that.
You know why I support her? The part that I support is that she exercised her constitution right to her opinion. That's what I support. Because if we start dictating who could say what and what they should be thinking, then there goes our constitution. We got to treat everybody equal. That's where I have a problem. Regardless if you like her opinion, that's her right. And the thing is,
I'm not saying she doesn't have the right to have the opinion. All I'm saying is that why are you supporting those opinions if they're wrong?
I didn't say I support her. I support her in what she does as a woman, meaning to stand up, to say her opinion, regardless.
Yeah, but who cares if she's a woman or a man? We're talking about the county and the position.
But regardless, I can't go against my beliefs of what I feel, what I see, what I've done, my homework. I'm not going to go against that. In just like some of these other groups, like this group here, Shasta County Republican Assembly, they endorse Dan and Greg Walkins. They don't even know Dan just because he has that little name, CHP, retired.
I would agree with you on that because I don't know him either, and I'm not a member of that group.
Well, my question is, how can you have that stance if the person, I understand voicing your opinion, but if that doesn't support our Constitution, then how can you stand with that person?
Like I said, I'm not going to stand with the person who breaks the laws, who say they're a constitutional or a godly man when they're not. They're being hypocrites. I will not support that. I believe in the Constitution. Totally. But that's
why
you see.
But here's tear it up?
Here's the, like I said, an example. I do not support the people who actually say one thing and do another. I will not defend them. I will not back them. Because if I do that, and then I'm being a hypocrite. I say one thing and I turn around and do something else. I'm not that way. I'm different. If, like earlier, I think I heard somebody say, that you have to kind of for me, I have to be me. If I start following, be a sheep, I don't want to be a sheep.
You're losing me.
So, here's
why. Because you say you support the Constitution, but you tore the Constitution up at at the Board of Supervisors. How is that supporting the Constitution?
I support the Constitution, but it doesn't mean I want to follow that person who claims to be a Constitution
person. What does that got to do with tearing up the Constitution? The Constitution is a document that's the law of the land.
It's an example to say, I'm not going to follow you who are in charge of the county, who actually claims to be a constitution and a godly man, when I know you're not. I don't respect people like that. Well, I will not respect anybody.
I was there when I watched for 7 or 8 hours of people that were losing their jobs. They were losing their income. They were being fired. And she couldn't even be bothered to look up and see the people there. She was basically doing things that were completely abhorrent to the Constitution. And we lost so many businesses during that time based upon
And we're talking about Mary Rickard.
Let's stop there because we got 2 minutes to go. And we appreciate you coming in and taking the heat, Dolores. And,
no problem. I could take it.
And if you got any last things to say, we got a minute and then we're out of here. So go ahead and and use your time wisely.
Here's another thing I do believe that you guys need to, everybody needs to pay attention. Kay Colby is, and Mike Mangus and Morningstar is on the Public Health Advisor Board. These people are part of Shasta Lake. Mike Mangus is not, but we know who Mike Mangus is. You know, I mean, do we want people like Kate Colby who actually held vaccines, you know, promoting vaccines and everything. Do we want someone like her in Shasta County being involved with these kind of organizations? Why are we appointing? Here's the thing. Why are we appointing? County appointed this person on the committee.
I don't disagree with you at all.
Well, that's
that.
What I'm saying. I don't respect people who appoint people who actually was just appointed a couple of months ago to that committee.
Right.
That's my point. I don't respect people who goes against these people who actually promoting vaccines for these kids or anybody.
How many?
We have less than a minute. We have like 30 seconds.
Okay. All well, right. I just hope that I get, your vote because I will represent you and I will do my homework and I'm not going to say something and I'm not going to follow through and I believe in standing up and doing what's right for the people.
Well, we thank you for coming in.
Remember, government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
Have a great week.
All gun control is racist. Don't co-parent with the government, and see you next week.